Get all my equipment sorted here and we're all gonna get started. I wanna bring a couple of illustrations there for you. And you may have encountered this at some point in your life. And the illustration that I wanna share with you is something like being trusting and have the faith if someone were to stand in front of you and someone stood behind you, would you trust them enough to catch if they fell back? Would you trust them enough that they were going to catch you? How do you think you would handle that if someone come up and said to you, look, you stand right here and you just fall back and I'm going to catch you? If you knew the person, would you trust them more? Would you have the faith that they were going to catch you? Or would you not have that type of faith in that person? These are the things that I want to share with you this morning about faith versus trust. If you have your Bibles, if you'd turn with me to Psalm 32, and we're gonna read verses 8, and I think I'll just read to the end of the chapter. So that's Psalm 32, 8 to 11. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Behold, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. And I read that from the ESV this morning. I'll be reading that, the other one from the ESV. But most of us know the Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 off by heart. How many know that off by heart? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Well, let me share it with you. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. What a wonderful piece of scripture to memorize and to be able to use that in your daily life, that you will continue to walk in the path that Jesus has for you. So this morning, as you can see on the first PowerPoint, and Marty gave me some instructions here to how to operate this equipment. So it's probably a little simpler than running a locomotive on a train, but I'll do my best here to make sure that I operate it correctly. But anyway, what is faith? What does faith mean to you? Have you ever thought about that? What about trust? What does trust mean to you? Well, trust is faith in action, isn't it? So it is the manifestation of our faith in our thoughts that we have and our actions. It's far easier to have faith in God, isn't it? There are unbelievers who have this. Did you know that? It's a lot harder to exercise trust in Him. Have you found that in your life? Trust in the Lord. Faith versus trust. Is faith the same thing as trust? Follow me with that. If not, you might say, well, Sandy, well, what exactly is the difference? What exactly is the difference? Well, for one thing, faith's a noun, isn't it? It's something that we all have, each of us have. Hebrews 11:1, now what's that say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But, my friends, faith is not trust. There's a difference here. And did you know that faith is found 148 times in the Bible, while trust is found 454 times in the King James Version? And a lot of us, like myself, was brought up in the King James Version. Not the new one, but the old one, the King James Version. The these and thous. That's how I was raised. And many of you probably were raised the same way with the these and thous. So what would you think if someone asked you, if you came up and they asked you, what does trust mean to you? What does it exactly mean? Well, faith says this, and let's think about faith. Faith says he can. Trust says he is, and I will think and act accordingly. It's far easier to have faith in God, as we've shared before, and even unbelievers who have this, it's a lot harder to exercise trust in him. Let me try out my... So trust is faith in action. It's faith in action. So how do we bring all this together? So how, Sandy, do I bring trust and faith together? Well, faith says, well, there's three kinds of faith. There's what? There's the dead type of faith. There's the dynamic type of faith. And there's the dynamic type of faith. Many of you will remember this incident. I don't know if it's an incident or not, but I would call it one, where the guy at Niagara Falls, he gets on one side on a rope, and he's going to come across the Niagara Falls on this rope. So in the late 1800s, what transpired here was there was a great performer. Have you heard of this guy? He was called the Great Blondin. He was a tightrope walker. Specifically, he wanted to get on this tightrope and make his way across in front of a huge audience. It was one of the greatest stunts. He was involved not only in walking this tightrope, but he'd get on this tightrope and he'd say, what do you think? Do you think I could get on this tightrope now with a wheelbarrow and I'll put somebody in it and then take it across this tightrope? So he gets on, think about it, he's on this tightrope, and he gets the wheelbarrow in front of him, and he gets his manager in the wheelbarrow. I wonder what the manager was going through. He's probably thinking, where is trust versus faith here with my life? And the people along watching him, and they were all in excitement, and they were, and they'd see it going back and forth. So he's thinking, should I have done this? Should I have trusted him to do this? Well, the crowd, they had no doubt, the great blonde one. Well, yeah, he could do it, but don't ask me to get in the wheelbarrow. So all of these people witnessed blonde one crossing the falls and the rope. They gained firsthand knowledge of his abilities here. They had the confidence that he could perform this stunt. Yet when it came to act on those beliefs, all of a sudden they were really quiet and silent. They didn't trust him. There's no way I'm going to get in that wheelbarrow. Many of us have seen, haven't we, what God can do. And we believe through faith, don't we? When he calls us to ride with him, do we ride with him? And do we trust him to get behind the wheel? Will we be silent? Will we not say anything? Will we just stand still? We say we trust God, many of us do, and we've all talked to people. We say, well, yeah, well, Sandy, I trust God all the time. But did you know many of us don't? Many of us don't trust him. Can I give you some reasons why we should trust God? But our text hits the nail on the head here. So what about King Solomon? Think about him for a minute. He tells the main reason why we should trust God. When we trust God, what transpires? Well, what's he do? Well, he guides us. That's what he does. Our part is to do the trusting, and his part is to do the what? His part is to do the guiding. He wants to guide each and every one of us this morning. Will you let him take the wheel in your life, and will you let him guide you? Our part is to do the trusting, and his part will just take right over and lead you where you need to go. When you trust in God, it'll make a huge difference in your life. So this morning, I want to give you three things that'll help you to put your trust in God. Firstly, we need to be confident in God's care. Are you confident this morning in God's care? Trust here in the Hebrew means to put all your weight on it. I'm in the last year of my seminary, Heritage Seminary, and Lord willing, I have one more semester to do next fall, and I'll graduate. So I've been trusting God to help me through this program, this ministry certification, because the professor, he gives me words that long that I have no idea what they are, so I have to get on and thank God for the internet to figure them out. But I trust God to help me understand what these words are in the Greek. Because the Old Testament, there is a lot of Greek and Hebrew there to understand. So I ask God, strengthen my faith, give me the trust so that I can look these words up and apply them in keeping with the way that you want me to. So that's a way for me, because I have the confidence in him to allow me to understand what he wants to share with me. So an example would be like, let me share this with you. Another example is like when you go to bed. You lie down, and what do? I'm going to trust that this bed is going to hold me, and it's going to fully support my weight. And you notice, too, you think about this. Well, kids, they'll run around, and they'll jump on the bed, and they have a great time jumping on the bed. But let me share this with you. When you get to be my age, I just fall into bed. So either way, you don't give it a second thought, do you? You just go to bed and it's going to hold me. You don't keep one foot on the floor and you don't get up in the bed and think, oh, this isn't going to support me, so I better keep one foot on the floor all night. We don't do that. You put all your weight on the bed. So when you put your trust in God, you put all your weight on him, don't you? Some people walk in their lives and I don't really want to put my weight here. I don't want to really give him all this. He wants your full weight. God doesn't want just a part of your weight. He wants you to give it all to him. You remember the song, Fully Surrender? When you sing those words, I fully surrender, what do they mean to you? How do you deal with that word, surrender? That's why God says in his text, with all of your heart. Either give him all your trust or you don't give him none at all. You can't just come to God and say, well, God, I'm just going to give you a part of my trust today. That's not going to work. It's not going to work for you. Half-hearted trust is like this. It's like wholehearted doubt. Think about it. But did you ever ask yourself why you don't give God your complete trust? Have you ever asked that question to yourself? Ask yourself, has he ever given you a reason not to trust him? That's why the verse finishes with, and lean not on your own understanding. What does that mean to you? And lean not on your own understanding. If you put what you think ahead of what God thinks, if you put the cart ahead of the horse, then you'll be living in the darkness and you won't be in the light. So you have to ask yourself, am I going to trust God? Or am I going to just lean on my own understanding? Am I just going to do my own thing? When you get up in the morning, do you turn your day over to God? Do you start your day with him? Do you say, God, guide me today? I don't want to lean on my own understanding. I want to lean on yours. Will you guide me today? Do you start your day like that? Do you trust God that he's going to lead you in the way that you need to go? Think about the instances we read in the Bible. Excuse me. When a little boy named David, we all remember David, he was getting ready to go up to fight. Who was he going to fight? He was going to go up and fight Goliath, who was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. He was getting ready to go fight that guy. So what does King Saul do? King Saul comes out, puts his armor on him. Hey, way you go, you're going to do great. King Saul was a fully grown man. David, he was just a boy. So he puts his armor on him, and it's not going to fit. He couldn't even move. So Saul says, well, take that off then, and I'll go find some that fit you. What did David say? No, I don't need that. I don't need your armor. I don't need it at all. What did David say? I trust in God. Because he not only killed the lion, but he killed the bear, and he protected David. So when David went out and he chose these, remember, he took out those five stones, he picked those five smooth stones up, and he got out his sling, and we all know what happened. He went out and he faced that giant, didn't he? And he took one stone, it only took one stone, and he slinged it and he struck Goliath in the forehead. And what happened to Goliath? He died. He killed him. Now that was not under nobody's understanding, just David trusting God. Can you imagine that whole army standing back? They're way back there and they're seeing this young boy, David, with a sling, picking up five stones, and Goliath standing back there in front of that Philistine army, and they're all out there. Can you imagine what everybody must have been thinking? Do you think they were thinking, well, this guy, he's done. He's not going to survive this. David trusted God. And of course, we all know what happened after that. Let's look at this for a moment. Remember Noah? I'm bringing back some history for you. So Noah's out in the wilderness. He's building this huge boat, ark. And he's taken what? He's taken 40 years to build this ark. And the crowds are all laughing at him. They think, what does this guy know? There's no way that we're going to get rain. It's not going to happen. Nobody understood what Noah was doing. Nobody could figure it out. And think about this. Not even his family couldn't get their heads wrapped around what Noah was doing. They probably thought he lost it. What's going on with Noah? What happened here? He simply trusted God. Trusted God. And he did what God had given him to do. Have you heard that phrase before? I have completed the work that I have been sent here to do. And because of his trust, he and his family, what happened? They were saved from the flood, weren't they? How about this? Can you imagine the thoughts of Joshua's army? Think about this one. When the battle plan to destroy Jericho was to simply what? Walk around the city. Simply just keep marching, walking around. And on the seventh day, what? Blow the horn. And the walls are going to cave in. Can you imagine Joshua trying to convince his army, his people, no, I don't need, all I need you to do is walk around the city. Just walk around. Just keep walking. And the last day, blow the horn, and then we're going to take over. We'll take the city over. Can you imagine, you think about it, after the third day, this army's thinking, is this guy okay? Something wrong with Joshua? Because Joshua did not lean on his own understanding. So on the seventh day, he gave the command to shout, and the city fell inward, and the city was theirs. What do you think they thought about that then? Wow, yeah. Well, Joshua, this God that you have, wow, this is great. So what's Joshua and what's Solomon sharing here, and what's David, and what are these people sharing? To trust God, because this is the end result if you do. But also you'd have to have the faith to be able to get there. Friends, Joshua didn't understand, but he simply trusted in God. And that's what King Solomon, the wisest person that ever lived, is telling us, each of us, to do this morning. Trust in God. Don't lean on what you think is best. You might think this morning, well, I think this is the best thing that I should do, or I should do this, or I should do that. Do you bring your decisions to God before you act on them? I trust that you do that. And if you don't, I pray you'll start. Well, you say, well, Sandy, it's just a minor. I don't want to bother God. Why? Why don't you bother him? He wants you to. He doesn't want you to lean on your own understanding. Let him help you and lead you and direct you. We just obey him, don't we? And he says, there might be times in our lives that don't make sense. Is there times in your life that don't make any sense? There's times in my life that don't make any sense. But I don't give up, neither. I don't give up. There's times that I wanted to give up while studying seminary, but I sticking to the course. I'm sticking with it because God's got a plan, and I'm not leaning on my own understanding. And sometimes, too, we think about trust and faith. We need to think about it this way as well. Think about it in a healing perspective. A healing perspective in your life where I'm going to trust God to see me through this illness or this problem that I'm having. I'm going to have the faith and the ability because God is with me. Then who can be against me? Not only should we be confident in God's care, but also we need to be, number two here, committed to God's purpose. Do you have a purpose this morning in your life? What is your purpose in this life? Don't you want to have the same type of attitude as God sent you to have a purpose in your life, a plan that he's going to develop you so that at some point you're going to be able to say, I have completed the plan, the course that God has sent me to do. Do you remember those words that Jesus said? I have completed the work that the Father has sent me to do. The Hebrew word for acknowledges means to see him. So in everything we need to look for his guidance. I want you to get that word this morning, his guidance. Whether it's going on vacation or whatever journey of your life that you're in. Whether it's when you're praying. As seen in John 14, 13, Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, what's the rest of it? I will do. So how can a person be sure they are praying according to God's will? How can you be sure of that? Well, let me share this with you. Your request cannot be for purely selfish reasons. James 4:3 tells us this. It must be to the glory of God, to his glory. And you must ask in faith, James 1:6. Another condition is that the request must be what? According to God's will. 1 John 5:14 tells us that. But how does one ascertain what the will of God is in any given moment? For instance, one might think it's God's will to heal loved ones or friends. And then they can proclaim God's goodness to others. But can I share this with you? But often, prayers for this even go unanswered. They go unanswered. Even when the requester has mountain moving faith, God does not heal. Questions come up. Why, God? Why? So how can we be sure they're praying the will of God in every given moment? My dear friends, I cannot answer that. No one can. Friends, always keep God in mind. What does always mean? It means what? It means in your family. It means your friends. It means the chapel here. Do you keep the chapel in your mind? Do you pray for your chapel? Do you pray for the authority in your chapel? I pray you do. In your marriage? Always means seeing throughout your paths. Always means see him in your finances. Where you're going, what you're going to do, who you're going to see. Always means even from the time you get out of bed in the morning. Well, you say, well, Sandy, I sometimes just can't think about that. Why can't you? When you're driving your car, what do you think about? Do you think about, well, God, thank you for today. I trust that you will guide me in this day and lead me. Not my understanding, but yours. When you deal with people, how do you deal with them? Is it your own understanding, or do you deal with, God, help me in this conversation with this person? How do you handle that? How would our lives be changed if we would see what he wants in all aspects of our lives? Remember the bracelet? Remember that bracelet? I've seen many people wear. I don't see them too often. What would Jesus do Have you anybody seen those? I've seen people had those on. What would Jesus do? Sometimes we get so confused about bringing the little things to God. We think that he only wants to be bothered with our great big decisions in our lives. What's a big decision to you? What's a small decision to you? What kind of a decision did you make to come to the chapel this morning? What were you thinking about? Were you thinking about the glory to God in the highest? Let me share this. There was a lady who went to a pastor, and he asked him if he thought that God would want to be involved in the little things in her life. She asked him that question. The reply was this: Do you really think that God thinks that anything you go through is too big for him? That's the reply she got. Here's another. Let me share this with you. Here's two young men, and they're in the congregation, and they're having this discussion together about their future, about their future wives. One of them stated that, well, hey, don't be talking about that. There's still time for all that, and we shouldn't disturb God with such these little silly circumstances, these issues. Oh, my friends. Here is what God wants us to do. He wants us to sign a blank contract and let him fill in the blanks. Will you let him do that? I understand nobody wants to sign a blank check or a blank contract, but we might not always understand the contract. But we act like we do, don't we? And at least we read it. But God says you and I to trust in me and give me your life, and then let me fill in those blanks. I'll fill them in for you. But you have to trust me. You have to have the faith in me that I'll do it. And thirdly, controlled by God's will. Verse 6. You do your part by bringing things to him, and he will do his, which is what? Directing your path. Think about this. My friends, this is a conditional promise here. He will not force or make you do the decisions that you want to make. He won't force you to do them. He won't even force you to make any, if you might think, he won't force you to make what you think is the right decision. He won't force you. He created you and I with a free will. We bring it to him, and in his will, in his own time, not ours, he directs us. Did you get that? He directs us. Remember in Jeremiah chapter 18, I think it is, first part of Jeremiah 18. Remember the potter? What's he do? He takes the pot and he makes that pot. He develops that pot into such a beautiful pot, but it doesn't happen overnight. He takes a lot of time to make this clay pot. And it's so beautiful when it's all finished. And that pot is a representation of his work. That's what he's doing for you and I this morning. He's developing us. He's taking that pot and he's making it so beautiful. He wants you to trust him and have the faith in that. Psalm 32:8, up to what we read this morning, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. That's his word. I'll guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Think about this. You're learning to drive a car. You don't usually have full control of this car. When I was learning to drive, there was a gentleman on the right-hand side, had his own brake. And I was learning to drive. And if I was doing something wrong, he'd hit that brake and I would go forward like that because he was making sure that I wouldn't create an accident or cause one. He was in control of it. The trainer still has control of the vehicle. In case I did something wrong, like if I was going to run a red light or if I was going to do something that I shouldn't do, he would take control of that vehicle. Did you know that God wants to be your co-pilot? Will you allow him to do that this morning? He wants you to be your pilot. He wants you to sit on this side. He wants to be the pilot. Will you let him be your pilot? Before I call on Melinda, let me share this with you. You are one of three levels this morning. Level one is I do what I want to do. Sandy, nobody can tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care who it affects or what circumstances even surround it. I'm going to do it. Level two is this. I do what I think I ought to do, and this is the level, my friends, that most Christians are at. Well, I think, Sandy, I'm doing the right thing, so I'm going to do it. I believe I'm doing the right thing. Are you really? And most Christians are at that level. The third level is this. That the one that we should all strive to be at, that this is the level that says this, I will do what he leads me to do. What path are you on this morning? I trust one way or another you're on a path. But have you ever asked yourself what kind of path it is and where it's going, where it's leading? Do you take an opportunity to ask your fellow brothers and sisters to pray about it with you? I trust that you do that. As Norm was sharing this morning about prayer requests, I have a prayer request, and I pray for those in authority that we're about to elect in our offices in this country. That's what we should be praying to, that God put in place the people that you want in there. Pray about that in your life. What about faith this morning? What does trust mean in your life? I pray, too, that when you leave the chapel this morning, you'll pray about that when you go home. Pray about that with your families. Pray about that with your chapel. I'd like to share with you what the four hows are. How confident are you in God's care this morning? We need to be confident in God's care, don't we? How committed are you to God's purpose. Do you have a purpose this morning? And what is it? Do you ask God to strengthen you and give you the faith and trust Him for that purpose? How are you controlled by God's will? Or are you a person that says, I'm going to do my own will? And I've talked to Christians and I've heard them share, well, I'm going to be doing it this way or I'll be doing it that way. I've heard Christians share that with me. That isn't what the Bible says. In all our ways, we are to acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths, and not to lean on our own understanding. How do you demonstrate, this is one here that I want you to take home with you as well, how do you demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit in your life? As Paul shares in Galatians 5:22. Well, you say, well, Sandy, what do you mean by the fruits of the Spirit? Well, number one is love. Is it hard for you to love people? Is it hard for you to say to others, I just love you? Is there something I can pray for you about? Is there something I can do for you? Would you like to have a cup of coffee with me? What about your time? Do you spend time with others, other believers, other unbelievers? I spend time with unbelievers because I'm going to share with them through the shining light that God has in my life so that they'll come to their precious, precious saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about the fruits of the Spirit in your life. We need, my friends, to be controlled by God's will so that you can, let me assure you of this, that you can be the shining light for someone this week. Think about, pray about it. God, give me that fruit of the Spirit for someone this week. So it may cost you some time, maybe it'll cost you something, monetarily or whatever, that I can share the shining light with them about you. Would you know of somebody, or would you cross paths with someone this week? And something else is a fruit of the Spirit, is don't forget to invite someone to come to the chapel next Sunday. I invited a friend that I know, Dean Sargeson, I worked with, he lives here. I invited him to come today. I don't see Dean here, but he has the email and I invited him. Invite someone to come next Sunday. And will you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and allow Him to lead you? And all of God's people said, Amen.